This is the Jay Sekulow breaking news. A judge blocks the election machines being reset in three Georgia counties and a major development in Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Well, there is some breaking news on the election front. We're going to have more of it a little bit later in the broadcast, but I wanted to start off by giving you an update on this because it's a significant development. A judge, U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Batten, issued an order affecting three Georgia counties where they were going to reset their election machines prior to the contesting being complete. What has now happened is that judge has put in place a demand or an order that says this, that you cannot reset those machines, that they have to stay in place, set to the parameters that they were set at the night of the election. Now, that's because there are a series of election challenges both in Georgia, in Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and others. There may be another one coming. There's one up on the U.S. Court of Appeals, the 11th Circuit. So I'm just giving you this as an update on information because the reality is litigation is still ongoing. Excuse me. The fact of the matter is, I'm sorry, Jordan, that we know that we are expecting, it looks like, the Electoral City on December 8th.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got this significant situation in Georgia specifically where a judge has halted the machines from being cleared. That means they can't be reset, and it's in three major counties. Two major counties that favored Joe Biden, that's Gwinnett County and Cobb County. Those are both suburbs right outside of the perimeter of Atlanta and outside of Fulton County. So you've got Gwinnett, Cobb, and then a Republican county that favored President Trump, Cherokee County. So all three of those, the judges issued an order saying, do not reset the machines, do not clear the data. And then he has issued an ability for, this is what's interesting here, the Republican governor and Republican secretary of state to deny access to investigators to actually assert what was going on with these machines. We know that they had problems. We know even in Fulton County over the weekend, they had to shut down the Dominion voting machines because of the third recount they went through there. In Fulton County, they only got about 80% done, and the machine shut down. So they've got a problem in Fulton County. They've got a legal order in Cobb, Gwinnett, and Cherokee County, and likely a legal battle that'll be expedited over whether or not independent investigators can go in and examine what was going on with these Dominion voting machines.
Yeah, this is a big development, and again, this is a series of lawsuits that have been initiated. So we're going to see over the next period of days how this goes. Now, there's a big date coming up. That's December 8th, and that is when you have the electors selected. They don't vote yet. That's when the electors are selected. Dan, what's the latest you're getting in Washington on this?
Yeah, I think similar to what Jordan said. I mean, I think anybody that's following this seriously, Jay, thinks that this is the appropriate ruling. I mean, look, you're going to see apparatus in Washington, D.C. start to move toward transition. But claims of fraud obviously have to be adjudicated, Jay. And the only way they can be adjudicated is if the evidence is preserved. So the freezing of these machines in these three counties, as Jordan mentioned, two major counties that went towards Joe Biden, one smaller county that went towards Donald Trump. Jay, I don't think anyone, I think everyone that's serious about this thinks that this is the right move because the claims of fraud have to be investigated, and in order to investigate them, you have to have access to the machines. The idea they'd be reset at this stage of the process, Jay, nobody thinks that's serious.
No, we're going to be joined by Rick Cornell coming up in the next segment of the broadcast because a major development in Iran, too. And folks, we're in the last day of our matching challenge for the month of November, and I want a huge thank you to all of you that have supported the work of the ACLJ. Thank you. For those of you that have it or are inclined to give another gift, this is the last day for this month's Matching Challenge campaign. We encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. So again, that's ACLJ.org. A Jay Sekulow Band concert this evening with some new tunes as well. So you want to stay tuned for that. I think it's 8 o'clock Eastern Time is my understanding, but I'll get that exact. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. And we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jay Sekulow Band concert tonight. Two new tunes added to some of the best of. That's how we have to do these. But there's actually probably going to be four or six songs you haven't seen before, or certainly haven't seen in a while. So we're going to encourage you to tune in at 8 o'clock Eastern Time here on Facebook. So we encourage you to do that. Paul McCartney tune, as well as a Neil Young tune. I think you're going to enjoy that tonight as we celebrate the last day of our matching challenge. Rick Rennell's joining us right now. And Rick, of course, served as the acting director of National Intelligence. He was also the ambassador to Germany. He is a senior advisor to the American Center for Law and Justice. He's part of our team. Rick, I want to go right to the situation in Iran. It's interesting. Let's first give a little bit of an analysis of what has exactly happened here.
Well, look, without getting into any intel, which will be difficult for me to talk about this subject with my previous background, but let's just be clear that let's talk generally. Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror and terror financing. And what that really means is that this is an Iranian regime, the current government, which is supporting terrorists in Europe, supporting terrorists in the Middle East. They fund Hezbollah, which is causing all sorts of problems in Europe and in Lebanon. And so they've got a long history of secretly supporting terrorists and using that money to develop weapons programs, which we know through the great information that the Israelis have been able to uncover, that the Iranian regime lied to the previous Obama-Biden administration. The Obama-Biden team believed the Iranian regime and what they were saying in terms of the number of centrifuges and the depth of their program. And what we found through the Israeli information is that the Iranian regime was lying to us. So part of the reason that the United States decided to reimpose sanctions on the Iranian regime is to cut off that funding and that money that keeps going to further weapons programs. There's an individual who is a scientist who is one of the key people in Iran that has helped develop the nuclear weapons program. And he was killed this past week, and all of his work spearheading these terrible programs, which are destructive and geared towards terrorism, clearly take a hit as well. And so it's a very good thing that this individual is no longer walking the earth. Let's be very clear about that. And the reason why is because he has used his scientific skills to help support the terrorist regime that is the Iranian regime that has been killing innocent people around the world and targeting Israelis and American allies.
All right, Jordan, I know you've got a question. I got a follow-up for Rick, but I'll let Jordan, you go ahead first.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Rick, you picked up on a tweet from someone who had your position before, John Brennan, who sent out an immediate tweet saying, this was a criminal act and highly reckless. It risked lethal retaliation in a new round of regional conflict. But this is the key point you picked up on. Iranian leaders would be wise to wait for the return of responsible American leadership on the global stage and to resist the urge to respond against perceived culprits. And a lot of people picked up and said, isn't that the same kind of like, or maybe even more,
exactly,
Logan Act violation that, you know, now that, of course, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn has got departed, but still had to spend millions of dollars in legal fees, unfair courts, conducted, you know, put together by Obama, Biden, and yet they've got their former acting DNI saying, hey, wait for your response while the Trump administration's in office.
Yeah, it's really outrageous, and people should go and look at the exact transcript from Michael Flynn, which the Democrats said was treasonous and problematic. The transcript was very clear. Mike Flynn said exactly what we would want someone to say who's an incoming national security advisor. What he said is, think about what you're doing, don't escalate, and remember that there is just one administration at a time. Now, John Brennan went completely further in his analysis and said to the Iranian regime, you should wait. You should only deal with the incoming administration, not the current administration, because it's going to be more rational. Now, that is explosive. That is one of those things that we know John Brennan has been supporting. He always comes down on the side of the Iranian regime. And we have to ask ourselves, why is it that John Brennan, every time there is a moment when the Iranian regime should be under more pressure, we can always count on John Brennan to relieve that pressure and give them aid and comfort in the international space. This also is a very alarming message to the Europeans who want to do business with the Iranian regime. You know, let's just take a country like Germany that I know well. The reality is that Germany has a Germany-first economic model. They want to be friends with everybody and sell everybody every product and service that they can. And that includes China. That includes Iran. And so there are concerns that the Europeans are going to utilize this moment and immediately engage with Iran and try again, once again, this strategy of engagement where we believe that if we just would sell products to Iran, the Iranian regime would somehow see the light and begin their walk towards democracy and the rule of law. I will just add one thing. We tried that 20-plus years ago when we had the Chinese enter the WTO. We believed that engagement would work. We believed that if we engaged the Chinese, that somehow they would start to move towards the rule of law and democracy and capitalism. That failed. The engagement strategy with China has failed. They should not be in the WTO. And I don't believe that you can have a long-term engagement strategy without a very good benchmark of constantly evaluating every 6 months, every year,
right,
on whether or not your engagement strategy is working. If it doesn't work, back off.
You know, it's interesting to me because I followed the situation too, Rick, with John Brennan. And, of course, we have an office in Jerusalem, so we do a lot of work in Israel. But this idea that John Brennan is now, again, cozying up to the Iranians, which, of course, was John Kerry's whole approach to engagement with the Iranians. The president has been very tough on Iran. Iran is crippled economically. And the most recent actions of taking out the bomb designer who created havoc both in the Middle East and, remember, U.S. individual soldiers were killed by this guy because the Iranians use other regimes as proxies. And the idea now that we've got John Brennan of all this, like the ghost of Christmas past, coming back here and now spewing his policy views, this is exactly why, folks, at the ACLJ, we are doubling our efforts now more than ever to combat this. We are going to be your voice with people like former Ambassador Rick Grenell, former Director of National Intelligence, and others that we can speak out on this. Rick, Jordan, you have one last question for Rick?
Yeah, I mean, Rick, I think this is just kind of it's a preview of what to expect if, you know, we talk about the legal challenges. This is not yet over, but if the Biden administration gets in, it's a preview of what to expect. You keep talking about the idea of compromise and how compromise puts America last, and it seems like we're racing towards that kind of foreign policy if Biden gets in.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you look at Ben Rhodes' tweets lately, and he's now completely openly mocking the motivation for the Abraham Accords and for trying to have peace with Israel's neighbors. I mean, it's an openly disgusting rhetoric that somehow Jared Kushner is getting paid off by the Saudis and by others for what work he's done. This is, I think, the danger of an Obama-Biden return, Biden-Harris return, because what we're going to see is are people who are hostile towards Israel and who want to govern the world by consensus, meaning that the United States policy must be watered down by others in order to have it good, which is how we got this weak Iran policy from the last administration. And pallets of cash were given to the Iranian regime, which, as you know, is brutal, denies human rights, pushes gay people off buildings, denies Christians their fundamental rights. It's a terrible regime that should not be funded.
You're absolutely right. And Rick, you know, you mentioned the horrific nature of their human rights violation. And as you know firsthand, we've represented a couple families that have had Christian pastors in Iran being treated by those regimes. So this is that's why we're fighting back, folks. And that's why you need to be listening to this broadcast. You need to be taking action with us and support the work of the ACLJ in the last day of our matching challenge for this month, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, don't forget tonight, folks, at 8 p.m. right here on Facebook. For those that are watching on Facebook, we're going to have a Jay Sekulow Band concert, a bunch of new songs that we just did. We did them, of course, remote with the COVID pandemic that's going on, but you will see that everybody was in the studio. We all came in separately, laid down our tracks. I think you're going to really enjoy it tonight. So we encourage you to let your friends know that as we celebrate the last day, last night of our matching challenge campaign. Now, if you're just joining us, we had Rick Grinnell on talking about the situation in Iran. We started the program talking about what's going on in some of the key election battleground litigation matters, including Georgia. I'm going to take some phone calls. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Robert in Maryland. Robert, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. I wanted to ask the both of you, what does it mean that the judge has refused to allow the resetting of the voting machines in the three Georgia counties you were talking about? Sure. I think there were Fulton, Cobb, and Cherokee. And if you could also go in more depth and details about what are some of the involved in some of the voter fraud lawsuits in the state of Georgia and some of the other battleground states, for example, like Pennsylvania and also Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yeah, so there's, Robert, there are a series of litigation that's going on, not all of which, most of which is not actually brought by the campaign, but it's individual voters. Sometimes it's state representatives. I know that was a situation in Pennsylvania. In Georgia, they were going to recalibrate the machines because there's a runoff election in January 5th in Georgia, and the judge said no recalibrating anything while there's litigation pending on if there was any improprieties with these machines. So those are part of the allegations that are in court right now. Then there is a Supreme Court issues that you know about in a couple of the different states, Supreme Courts, Pennsylvania Supreme Court, Third Circuit, a dismissal lawsuit that was brought by the campaign in Pennsylvania. So the litigation window is narrowing, which is typical in these cases. And then you're going to find yourself in a situation where legally, not talking about politically, legally, your options get smaller. And so that's when the Supreme Court may or may not come into play. That's what happened in Bush versus Gore as the litigation proceeded. We don't know that yet. It's still early for that. But that is something that could happen. So we will keep our eyes on that and keep you posted on that. There is litigation, as you mentioned, in Nevada. There's litigation in Wisconsin. There's litigation in Pennsylvania. So that will continue for a period of time. And then what's going to happen is the electors are selected December 8th, and then they vote December 14th. That kind of locks it in.
Yeah, that would lock it in if one of the candidates would get 270 of those electoral votes. Obviously, if neither one did, that's when some of the other scenarios we've talked about come into play, where the House of Representatives would have a vote here. But, Jay, here's what I think is so important for people to understand. Two things. One, everybody on every side should want confidence that the rightful outcome of this election is arrived upon. And how do you do that? You take a look at all of the allegations that are out there. That's what's happening in court right now. I'm really proud of our system, Jay, that is playing out. They should, of course, have the opportunity to make these claims, but you can't make the claim without the evidence, which wiping the machines would wipe the evidence away. So this is an absolutely appropriate decision. And Jay, one of the other things that people in Washington, D.C. have asked, well, what is the remedy if it happens? Well, Jay, as you well know, there is a constitutional remedy. If evidence were to surface, legislatures could intervene. Now, you can't ask the legislature to do that if you don't allow the allegations to be put forward. So this is a process that is proceeding as it should. There is time for it to play out. And by the way, Jay, January 5th is a long way away. They will have plenty of time to recalibrate those machines in advance of that election.
Ridiculous. No, this was ridiculous. Yep. By the way, there's also legal challenges that have nothing to do with evidence per se. When I say evidence per se, who was not able to view the voting process or the observers. There's other legal issues that are significant. Straight constitutional issues under the Electors Clause, under due process, under equal protection under the law. Those are all also in play. Now, I want to get Colonel Wes Smith involved in the conversation, but I want to focus on Georgia for a moment because that's where Colonel Smith is from. And I want to get your sense in talking to people in Georgia. You've got we'll take Tony's call first, then we'll go to Wes. Tony's calling from Virginia on line 6. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Good.
Hey, my question was, What do you think about the upcoming election in Georgia? You know, what's being done to ensure that what happened in the presidential election isn't going to happen again in this Senate election?
Let me go to Wes Smith and get kind of a sense of what he's seeing. He's just came back from Atlanta, outside of Atlanta. What are you seeing, Wes?
Well, you know, people are concerned, and I think rightfully so, because there is a sense that this was not completely above board, that there were irregularities, if not outright fraud. Many people believe outright fraud, but they also feel at this point there's little recourse. There's not a lot they can do to change, you know, what happened. At least that's the sense of most of my friends that I talk to down there. The real emphasis among Republicans that I know in the state of Georgia and in where I live is going towards the Senate race in January. They do not want Trump supporters to become so discouraged by what happened that they don't show up on January 5th for this next election.
Right.
It is critical. I mean, that is the most critical thing that's being talked about back home, and that is the Republicans, in order for there to be some checks and balances, they have to hold the Senate. And that seems to be where most of the passion lies, along with disappointment as to how things have turned out thus far for President Trump.
Well, I think that's right, and let me underscore something about the importance of voting January 5th. Now, I mean, our government provides for, that doesn't always happen, because sometimes one party controls everything, but does provide for checks and balances, and the checks and balances in this context would mean that if you had a Republican legislature, there's certain things that can be done and certain things that can't be done. You have to have more consensus building, which I think is, personally, I think that's appropriate. Now, having said that, what you also have to understand is, although people are disappointed in Georgia, your fundamental obligation to vote, not just your right to vote, your obligation to vote, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever you are, is important. And when you've got a runoff, that literally is a national election, because what's happening in Georgia is a national election, because the fate of the United States Senate is at stake. So for our friends listening in Georgia, and we have a big listenership in Georgia, understand your Senate race is not just for you. It is going to impact the rest of the country. It is truly, truly a national race, Dan. And you work the Senate every day up there in Washington. And that's what people need to understand. This is exactly that. This is a situation where you have a national race.
Jay, I really can't overstate how true that is, really on two levels. First of all, the amount of money and the amount of resources that this is going to pour into the state of Georgia, it is going to be a national race. Both sides have already conceded that all eyes are going to be on Georgia, because if there is a Biden administration, two wins in the state of Georgia would give them unified government control. I think that's probably something that most Americans are not for. But then secondly, Jay, I would apply this to the other topic we're talking about today. Nowhere, Jay, is the United States Senate more important than when it comes to the issue of foreign affairs, because while the executive, the president of the United States, does have wider latitude in foreign affairs than it does in other places, the main check that the Constitution affords on a president is the United States Senate. And let's apply it directly to the Iran situation we're talking about. It was the United States Senate that had a role in providing a check on President Obama on that deal. Now, I don't like how it went, but Jay, as a Biden administration would maybe try to return to the Iranian deal, what would be the check? It would be a Republican U.S. Senate. That's on the ballot on January 5th.
I want to say something again to our ACLJ members and listeners of this broadcast. If you're watching on our many social media platforms or television, your support of the ACLJ could not be more critical than it is today. We're in the last day of our matching challenge for November. Remember, November and December, the biggest 2 months for our year, basically determines our budget. You see the issues we're able to address, whether it is the issue of election integrity or the issues of Iran, with people like Rick Grinnell, former Director of National Intelligence, former ambassador to Germany, and others. Support the ACLJ now more than ever. Go to aclj.org. Whatever amount you donate, we get it doubled.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the second part of our broadcast. If you're just joining us, I'll give you a quick update, but also let me tell you, tonight at 8 o'clock p.m., you're going to hear the Jay Sekulow Band. We do these concerts the last night of our matching challenges, a bunch of new songs that we did. We did them remotely, but you will see we were all in the studio, just not at the same time. So there are some shots where you'll see, you know, one of the guys playing guitar, Mark Townsend or Scott or Marco maybe playing guitar, and you'll look at a drum kit that's empty, and then you'll see times when I'm playing the drums and I'm the only person. But it gives you a much more... looks like the old studio. It's another step closer, I'd say, in getting back to normalcy. So we encourage you to watch that tonight and support the work of the ACLJ. When you do that, go to aclj.org. Great tunes ahead, including a Paul McCartney classic, Maybe I'm Amazed. Also Neil Young's Old Man. Great new tunes that we did just shot in the last couple weeks. So complicated tunes, I might add, both for the band and for the drummers. But I think it came out great. I'm not going to say we did a good job, that'd be too self-promoting, but I think it's really good. You're going to enjoy it. Also, let me say this. We want to give you updates and take your calls at 800-684-3110. I want to know your opinion on how you're viewing this incoming administration and how you're viewing the litigation as the presidential race is still contested, although the window for that, you know, closes as this gets closer to the December 8th date. We want your phone calls at 800-684-3110. A judge in Georgia, a U.S. District Court judge in Georgia, has issued an order telling three counties that they cannot reset the Dominion machine, voting machines that were utilized during this last election while litigation was pending. It's a temporary order. That's because, although this litigation is not brought by the president, for instance, the fact is that you have a situation, and this is important for people to understand, you have a situation where there is ongoing litigation brought by people that are voters, sometimes electors, in those states, and that's what's going on right now. The president, of course, also has some claims that are going as well, and there may be others. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me take Rhonda, calling from Ohio. She has a very interesting question. Rhonda, go ahead.
Hello, Jay, and the rest of you guys. First, I want to say thank you all so very much for what you do. God bless you. I'm praying for you, and thanks. I have been a long-time supporter. My question
appreciate
is twofold.
It.
There's multiple court cases, and they, from what it appears, even more coming. What happens December 8th? The states choose electors. These court cases aren't settled. Then
okay,
the follow-up
so
is, on yep. December 14th, if it isn't settled, and then we still have the court cases, just like Sidney Powell's is a big one, and there may be more, what happens yep. then? Is there a way to challenge this?
So let me just tell you what it is. December 8th is when the electors are selected. The states will select the electors. Then on December 14th, those electors will meet, and they will cast their vote. And then the question will be, are there enough electors to get one of the candidates to 270?
That's right. One of the candidates has to get to 270 to be the next president of the United States. If there was a situation where either there was a tie, it was 269 to 269, or for a variety of reasons, Jay, and all of the states that you're talking about could be applicable in this case, maybe there was a state or two or three or four that was not able to certify its elections and select electors, so then no candidate was able to get to 270. Jay, it wouldn't matter who was ahead at that point. That is when the election would go to the United States House to be determined there.
But look, the window on litigation is narrowing very quickly. I mean, I'm the realist here. I'm the lawyer. It's narrowing quickly. Now, there may be some last-minute significant matters being brought to court. There may not be. We're going to know that. We'll know that shortly. I will say that the window is tough, and the dominoes have to line. For the president to have a legal victory here would be miraculous, to be blunt. That doesn't mean it can't happen. That doesn't mean everything won't line up. But it's going to take that effort. So I always make the joke: if it were to go in the president's favor, you could thank God for the victory. And if it goes the other way, you blame the lawyers. Everybody does, anyways. I mean that as a joke, of course. The lawyers, by the way, across the board, are doing a very good job, working very hard, trying to make sure election integrity is protected. We certainly do that at the American Center for Law and Justice. Coming up, we're going to be joined by. In addition to Wes Smith, I think we're going to have Harry Hutchison. We're going to talk about a Supreme Court victory on religious freedom. New court, new majorities, new day. So, again, lasting legacy of a president, Supreme Court selections, and that's for sure. ACLJ.org for the Matching Challenge campaign. Back with more in a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're joined by, of course, Dan Bennett is with us, Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy, and Wes Smith, Senior Military Advisor. I want to go to Harry on something, because let me actually take Mary's call first, because this relates to a Georgia resident. So let's get Mary. She's on line one. Mary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, this is Mary Antrim, and my grandson, Patrick Isringhausen, is in the Navy in California right now. He is a Georgia resident, and he got his ballot. He was able to secure a ballot to mail in for the general election, but he can't find anything now to get a ballot for the special election.
Okay, he can get an absentee ballot in Georgia. He just needs to contact his county, and they will send it to him. They do have an absentee ballot program in Georgia for the run-up, so he should be fine. Probably can grab it online if he just goes online to the election office in the county where he resides, even though he's deployed right now in California. So that should help in that situation. Harry, we had an interesting, you know, we've got several of these religious freedom cases in light of a COVID pandemic with what I call unnecessary or overly restrictive and certainly violating equal protection restrictions on churches. We have one in California headed up to the Supreme Court, but there was just a ruling of the Supreme Court, very significant, and it was the first religious liberty case with Amy Barrett on board.
Absolutely. And it was a perfect case for her to participate in, because she was dealing with a clear-cut case of draconian overregulation of religious institutions, churches, and synagogues. Essentially, the state of New York will allow unlimited attendance at department stores, but then limits synagogues and churches to a maximum of 25 in some zones and a maximum of 10 people in other zones. And there's some evidence that those zones were gerrymandered so as to minimize attendance at religious institutions. And so I think Governor Cuomo is likely to lose on the merits when and if we get a full hearing on this case. It's pending with respect to a writ of certiorari, yep. And the district court has basically suggested, or at least the evidence accumulated at the district court level, suggests that the plaintiffs in this case, a Catholic diocese and a Jewish synagogue, will prevail on the merits going forward.
What's also significant on this, Harry, is the fact that you have a situation where just a few weeks ago, the court was divided 4-4 with John Roberts going with the more liberal members of the court. Now, this time he still went with the more liberal members of the court, but you had Gorsuch, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. There is clearly a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. So whatever happens in the election as the litigation plays out in the next several days, and I think it's really days here, the fact of the matter is, and this is important for everybody to realize, the fact of the matter is a lasting legacy of the president is also a Supreme Court selects, and the president got three great Supreme Court justices in place. So that's a big win. I also want to touch back and go to Wes on this, on the situation with Iran. Wes, let's reset it for everybody as to what happened, and then we'll go to the John Brennan situation. But what happened with Iran?
Yeah, Iran's chief nuclear scientist, which is a man named Fikrizadeh, he is not only the brains behind Iran's pursuit of a nuclear weapon, he's the passion behind it. As a matter of fact, in 2015, the New York Times referred to him as the J. Robert Oppenheimer of Iran. Of course, who was the chief scientist during World War II that helped the United States develop the atom bomb. And so he was assassinated, killed by apparently a satellite-controlled remote machine gun and some explosives. And of course, Iran is vowing revenge. But this guy has a very, very dark, dark past in the Iranian nuclear weapons program. And was killed by operatives. We don't know exactly who. They're blaming Israel. Israel is very moot on this point. We do know, as far as how this might have happened, that the U.S. and Israel have operatives from time to time in Iran. There have been special ops teams that can very quickly enter and exit Iran. But there's also a group, an Iranian exile group, called the Mujahideen al-Khak, or M-E-K. They have operatives throughout the country of Iran because that's where most of them live. They oppose the Iranian regime, and they have helped in such operations in the past. But what we know is that he was killed. That is a good thing. People say, well, you know, John Brennan, of course, came out and called it criminal and reckless. And yet at the same time, we have very, very few options available to us at this point to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons, short of all-out war. But we do have options. And one of those options is to take out their scientists as well as sabotaging some of their computers and their nuclear facilities. And so this was something that I think needed to be done. It was done. It was not criminal. It was not reckless. Assassinating an individual is preferable to all-out war, and it's definitely preferable to Iran acquiring a nuclear weapon, and he was pushing towards that. In 2018, if you remember, Jay, 2 years ago, when Israeli commandos raided a warehouse and came away with a treasure trove of documents that the Ahmad program, Iran's nuclear weapons program, in spite of what they had said, had not stopped under the JCPOA, they were still pursuing nuclear weapons. And Fikrizadeh's name was all over that material. And that's when Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said 2 years ago, remember this name. Because he is, like I said, not just the brains. He is the passion behind Iran's pursuit of a nuclear weapon.
And he has the blood of American soldiers on his hands. I mean, we got to be clear about that. He has the blood of American soldiers on their hands because they use Syria, they use Lebanon, they use these regions to engage in proxy war, where Iran is really the party in interest, but they're using the others to front it. So this so-called scientist, and I don't even like using that phrase, actually has the blood of American soldiers on his hands. And Harry, we've written books on this topic about the proxy war with Iran. And again, I want to stress to our members and listeners, viewers that are watching this, listening to this on radio, this is the uniqueness of the American Center for Law and Justice. Is that it's not just court cases, which we do plenty of. It's not just international court cases. We do lots of those. It's not just the Supreme Court. It's impacting policy globally, including in the Middle East, where we have experts that testify before the United Nations, that submit documents to these various international tribunals. And we are your voice in Washington, D.C. on these issues. Let me go to Than on this. Than, I think it's really important for our members to understand. They just heard from former director, acting director of national intelligence, Rick Grinnell. They've heard on this program before, former Attorney General John Ashcroft. I mean, we are, and believe me, folks, we are bolstering our team. We know what probably lies ahead. And even if it doesn't, we're bolstering that team. But we are bolstering our team because in Washington, Fan, the fight on these principles, first principles, are going to be critical.
It's going to escalate, Jay. And look, there's a policy side to this. There's a political side to this, both domestically and internationally. Let me just quickly address both of them. First of all, on the policy side, people have got to remember who we're talking about here. And I know you just had the conversation with Wes, but look, this is an Iranian regime that if you zoom out, they call Israel the little Satan. They call the United States the great Satan. They suppress their own people in ways that are too numerous to count. And they call for Israel to be pushed into the sea and for Jews to be exterminated. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, that was one of the people that they used to accomplish those goals, Jay. So that's on the policy side. But on the political side, we've just got to be real with folks, too. I mean, this escalation that we're seeing, Jay, this was always going to happen if Iran was allowed to pursue a nuclear weapon. And I'll just say this. If you put the same people in charge that brought us to this point, people like Jake Sullivan and Ben Rhodes, Jay, we're heading down that road again.
Oh, I mean, you know, this is Yogi Berra famously said it's deja vu all over again. And I mean, of course, the great catcher and Yankees manager, Berra was right, Harry, that this is, we're seeing the same team again, the same failed team is coming back up to do round two.
Absolutely. And if we do not remember our history, we are doomed to repeat it. And it is clear beyond question that many globalists and Washington insiders, they are so in love with their own failed intellect that they are prepared to go down the same road that they've gone down previously. They are prepared to allow Iran to continue to push against an open door. And the ACLJ and others, we need to mobilize to fight against those groups.
We're doing it. We're saying the ACLJ now more than ever. And you know exactly why. I don't have to even tell you. You know exactly what we're dealing with. Hey, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in the last segment of the broadcast, which means you can ask us anything. If you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, on Periscope, wherever you might be catching this broadcast, or radio, of course, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Jay Sekulow Band live concert. You're not going to want to miss it. This is some best of. It's some brand new stuff. You're going to enjoy it. We pulled some out of the vault, but we've got some brand new tunes as well. So you want to stay tuned for that. 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight on Facebook. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Last Ever Matching Challenge, folks. I've been telling you that we're going to increase our staffing. We've already brought in Rick Rennell. We're bringing in other experts. You're going to see a team at the ACLJ assembled like you have never seen before. We are going to prepare for battle. That's what this is. If the election goes the way it looks like, that the litigation does not succeed, and Joe Biden is president, you better be prepared. And we're certainly going to be on the policies, fighting in court, in Congress, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Last segment of the program. I want to go around and talk to each of our experts here, start with Jordan on this, and kind of see, as we're getting very close to the December 8th date, I mean, literally, 9 days away here, when the electors will be selected, and then December 14th. We've got to, we are prepared either way, but you have to be.
That's right. I mean, I think that, listen, as you know, Dad, that there are ongoing discussions. We're not going to talk about the air yet today. Potential legal challenges. It's not over. Obviously, we saw that in Georgia today, where you've got this Dominion voting issue, an issue which the left tried to poo-poo and say, oh, there's nothing to see there. Well, the judge didn't agree with that. The judge agreed that to make sure not to wipe any of those machines for three very critical counties in Georgia, two that favored Joe Biden, Gwinnett County and Cobb County, one that favored Donald Trump but didn't count enough Trump votes. Where were there issues there? Did it overcount Biden votes in Gwinnett and Cobb? So the big fight there coming next is that the appeals court, the 11th Circuit, the judge authorized an emergency appeal, a fast-track appeal, so that this will be the weird part. And it's I know it's upsetting to President Trump, because you've got the Georgia Republican governor who's tried to play this both ways, and the Secretary of State who's just been like, so weak in Georgia and been like almost like crying on TV, like, I can't believe that people are concerned. Well, we're concerned because of judges agreeing with a litigation like this. And the big next step there will be, can independent investigators go into those machines appropriately and see if they were conducting the election the way they should be and counting the votes the way they should be? That is going to be that's a real legal battle. Because there's a lot of different issues at stake there. Dominion will be fighting this. And then this is what upsets me so much. The Georgia governor and Georgia Secretary of State, who are Republicans, are fighting this. They're fighting this move rather than wanting more transparency in these voting machines that they just signed on contracts with for this election.
Could you imagine the Democratic governors and the Democratic AG and the Democratic lawsuits, and they would be saying, oh, no, we're going to side with the Republicans? Never. I mean, that's the irony of all this. All right. We also know that, by the way, we're talking about this religious liberty issue that we have, which is involving churches, what I call the over-censorship during the pandemic. On oral arguments took place, in our case, on November 6th. We've not gotten a decision yet. That's almost 3.5 weeks. But the state will be supplementing its record today. And then we have 7 days to file a response, so our team is working on that as we speak. Let me go to Harry Hutchison and kind of get his closing thoughts here. We've got the election issue. We've got the Supreme Court we talked about. Let's talk about the Supreme Court shift. How significant of a shift is this with Amy Barrett, generally?
I think it is very, very significant, in part because we now know that John Roberts appears to be an unreliable vote with respect to conservative issues. So it was absolutely essential for President Trump to nominate and then confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the court. I think she's going to make a fine justice on the United States Supreme Court, and certainly her first major decision with respect to what's going on in New York with respect to religious liberty, I think is very favorable to all Americans who believe in the rule of law.
You know, it's interesting you said that about Chief Justice Roberts. I will say that we have a stay in place from the Vance case that we argued at the Supreme Court involving the attempt to get the president's tax returns. We still have not had there's been no court order requiring us to hand those over. So that stayed in place through the election. So there you have it. So, you know, John Roberts, on individual cases on this, especially these coronavirus issues have been very unpredictable. And some of the decisions on the election clauses, I still can't figure out. But then again, like I said, the stay is still in place. Wes, let's talk briefly about Iran and the situation there to give everybody kind of a final recap.
Yeah, this is significant. It really is. This man was the fifth nuclear scientist that's been killed since 2010 in Iran. What the world, the civilized world, is trying to do is put some check there so that Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. The IAEA, International Atomic Energy Administration, reported recently that even with all of the stuff going on with the flawed JCPOA that President Trump withdrew us from, that Iran, as of this moment, has enriched 15 times the amount of uranium they were supposed to enrich under that crazy Iran nuclear deal, as it's called, and they are enriching it at a deeper level. They are on the path to a nuclear weapon, which is why it's very, very important going forward that the Senate be there to provide a check to a potential Biden administration who continues to want to placate Iran, and all that will do was allow them to get a nuclear weapon. The JCPOA said, you know, a weapon in 10 years or so. They will get a weapon much sooner than that unless we continue to take a firm stance against Iran. They are a terrorist group. They are a terrorist nation, and they are in pursuit of nuclear weapons. The seriousness of that cannot be overstated.
So let me go to Fan, because we talked about the Senate. We've got two races in Georgia, and as I said earlier in the broadcast, Stan, these are not, by any stretch of the imagination, these are not local races. This will affect a branch of government.
National. Yeah, not localized races at all. These are national races. Both sides are treating them as such. Tens of millions of dollars will pour into them, Jay.
Hundreds.
And hundreds of millions, that might be correct. And look, if it is a Biden administration, it will determine whether or not there's unified control of the government. And in two areas that we've talked about, Jay, that is so monumental. First of all, in foreign affairs, will there be a check on a President Biden in the United States Senate? And then secondly, Jay, look, let's say it again. Judges matter and justices sure matter. This opinion out of New York, Jay, it was a 5-4 decision. And if you want quotes and opinions like this one, then justices matter. Here's just a short quote from that opinion. Even in a pandemic, the Constitution cannot be put away and forgotten. Jay, those are the kind of opinions that you need out of a justice, and we're getting them out of this Supreme Court.
And by the way, even in a pandemic, the Constitution can't be done away with. That includes on election integrity, too. The same principle that applied in that religious freedom case applies in election integrity cases as well. Now, Jordan, we are in the last day of our matching challenge for the month of November. Big concert tonight with the Jay Sekulow Band, but this is a chance for everybody to support our work.
That's right. And I wanted to add, too, before we get to that, let me just say this, too. If you care about taxes, you care about these two Georgia Senate races. You care about the Green New Deal not going into effect, these two Georgia Senate races can stop that. They can stop tax hikes. They can stop the Green New Deal. They can stop the most radical appointees. So get involved with those and pay close attention. President Trump will be down there this week in Georgia for, I'm sure, one of many events he will be doing in Georgia to try and hold on to those seats. But let me just encourage you right now, folks. This is the final day of our matching challenge in the month of November. I want to thank all of you who've already donated. But if you're thinking about, hey, donating one more time, or you haven't done it yet, you have until midnight tonight to donate and double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. We need your support to fight all of these battles now and in the future. Donate at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to donate and be part of the matching challenge. And then again, that Jay Sekulow Band concert tonight, where you'll be able to donate as well and double the impact of your donation. We appreciate you so much at the ACLJ, and we've got a group of donors. They say we'll match all those donations that come through until midnight tonight, wherever you are. Donate, support the work of the ACLJ. If you're financially able, donate today. We'll see you at the concert tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.